Hi, Pastor Bill Woods here, and I hope you're having a good day. I was thinking about the way that people use their lives, and sometimes, they make investments in things. You see a business you want to buy into, or maybe the stock market or something, and you invest money and you hope that you're going to get a good return. Well, I'd like to talk today about what Christians ought to be doing is investing our lives for eternity. Psalm 90, verse 12, in the New Living Translation says, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom." In the New King James Version, that same verse says, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." You know, one of the things that's happened to our generation is that we have developed the idea that we need only to live for today. It's important to have what we want right now. And you know, we think about how important it is to make ourselves comfortable while we're here on earth. And we really very often don't take time to think about the fact that this is temporary. We're not here for eternity. We're going to be someplace else in eternity. But we look around, we see, oh, we've got to have big homes and nice cars and money in the bank and security. You know, it'll be gone soon when, probably sooner than we think, and we will face a situation most people don't relate to. That would be eternal life. What a shame for people to spend their lives amassing worldly goods and fortunes only to find at Judgment Day they forgot what was the most important thing. Yeah, I was thinking about one time my doctor told me all my organs are past the date of best if used by. And, you know, we laughed about it, but the fact is I'm getting pretty old and I really need to spend some quality time getting ready to spend my eternity with Jesus Christ. And so I want to say the first thing we should do is live for eternity. Professional golfer Paul Anziger was diagnosed with cancer at age 33. Now, he had just won the PGA Championship back in 1993, and I was reading about his life, and he had 10 tournament victories to his credit. He wrote, "A genuine feeling of fear came over me. I could die from cancer. Then another reality hit me even harder. I'm going to die eventually anyway, whether from cancer or something else. It's just a question of when. Everything I had accomplished in golf became meaningless to me. All I wanted to do was live." Then he remembered something that Larry Moody, who had taught the Bible study on the tour, had said to him, "Zinger, we're not in the land of the living going to the land of the dying. We're in the land of the dying trying to get to the land of the living." And he's done pretty well, but that bout with cancer deepened his perspective. Paul Anziger recovered from chemotherapy and returned to the PGA Tour. He wrote, "I've made a lot of money since I've been in the tour, and I've won a lot of tournaments, but that happiness is always temporary. The only way you will ever have true contentment is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that nothing ever bothers me and I don't have problems, but I feel like I've found the answer to the 6-foot hole." Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 says, "Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end." Again, in 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15, "Because of God's grace to me, I've laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like somebody barely escaping through a wall of flames." I've always admired Jim Elliot. He was a missionary that he and four of his fellow missionaries got massacred down by the Aqua Indians down in South America. But Jim Elliot said he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. I was reminded 1 week ago today that life is unpredictable and temporary. We have no guarantee how long we'll be here before death catches up with us. Therefore, I want to know Jesus Christ as my Savior and live in harmony with God's will, so I'll be ready when my time is up. There was a horrible traffic accident on I-40 just below where I live. It involved two semi trucks and two cars. Four people were instantly killed with no warning. You should see the carnage that was there. I hope that they knew the Lord. The point is, they had not planned to enter eternity that day, right then. Now they're at their eternal destination with no chance for reprieve. It's best to be up to date with God 24/7. I don't know if they were Christians or not. I hope they were. But if they weren't, they certainly didn't intend to end up where they did last week. Then again, it's a situation. We just got back from Tammy's house. We were down there because I had to go to get a doctor's checkup on my leg where I broke my femur. But I was playing with Mia, her little French bulldog, and things seemed to be all right. We got home, we found out that Mia had some kind of a spell. Tammy took her to the veterinarian and found out she was full of cancer and they had to put her down. And I again, that's a dog. But each one of us are going to one day have to face death, and I want to be ready when that comes. When I understand my future will be with Jesus in heaven, it decreases my fear. I don't have to fear death because Jesus Christ not only conquered sin, but he conquered the grave and death, and we can be alive with him forevermore. That increases my focus on what is really important in life. At the end of a 5-day retreat for families affected by disabilities, a microphone was passed around so that all the participants could share a couple of sentences about how meaningful and how fun the week had been for them. Little freckle-faced, red-haired Jeff raised his hand. Everyone was kind of excited to hear what Jeff would say because Jeff had won the hearts of everyone at family retreat. Jeff has Down syndrome. He took the microphone, put it right up to his mouth, and said, "Let's go home." Later, his mother said Jeff really missed his dad back home. His dad couldn't come to family retreat because he had to work. And even though Jeff had had a great time at camp, a fun-filled week, he was ready to go. This world is pleasant enough, but would we really want to go on forever as a family retreat? I don't think so. I'm with Jeff. I miss my daddy, my Abba Father. My heart is longing to go home. Don't miss the chance down here on earth to begin investing in eternity so heaven can be your heart's home. I know that God has prepared a place in heaven for me. He's prepared one for you too if you accept him as your personal savior. And I know that, when I get there, it's going to be such a wonderful thing and I'll be with Jesus for all eternity. But to be honest, I kind of dread the trip. I'm not sure how it is that I'm going to exit this world. But God will be with me every step of the way because he's promised never to leave me or forsake me. And he's promised that as my days, so shall my strength be. And so if you've been worried about disease or you've been worried about anything, just turn it to God. God will help you be able to face whatever's coming. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen, for the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." One of my favorite hymns is "When We See Christ." I would try to sing it to you, but I don't want to torture you, but I'm going to read it to you. Oftentimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Sometimes the sky looks dark with not a ray of light. We're tossed and driven on, no human help in sight. But there is one in heaven who knows our deepest care. Let Jesus solve your problem. Just go to him in prayer. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Life's day will soon be o'er, all storms forever past. We'll cross the great divide to glory safe at last. And we'll all share the joys of heaven, a harp, a home, a crown. The tempter will be banished, we'll lay our burdens down. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Oh, what a wonderful thing to think about the fact that we one day are going to see Jesus Christ, and our struggles that we face today will be so minor. Because everything will take form when we see Jesus, and we'll know whatever we had to face was worth it all so that we could be with Christ in heaven. Second thing I'd say is live with urgency. Thomas A. Kempis said, "For a little reward, men make a long journey. For eternal life, many will scarce lift a foot once from the ground." Ephesians chapter 5, 15 and 16 says, "So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days." You know, urgency busters, we let perceived problems turn our hearts from God's reality. We spend a lot of time worrying. I was reading one time about Bishop William Quayle, said that he was really wrestling with some problems that he knew about. He didn't know it was things his church was facing. It was things he and his family were facing. And he was in bed and he was tossing and rolling and couldn't go to sleep. And way up early in the morning hours, God said to him, "Now, William, you go to sleep and I'll sit up." You know, God's always sitting up, and we can just put our problems in his hands, and God will help us to have the grit, the wisdom we need to work things out according to his will. We let things that won't matter in eternity get in the way of our living victoriously for God now. And is some urgency driving you right now, going to be so important that you can't concentrate on any other thing? Oh, let me ask you a question. Is that going to be just as urgent a year from now or 100 years from now? You know, we kind of bog down forgetting that this is just temporary, and God will help us through if we trust him. I remember that Marty's folks visited us in Cheyenne when we were pastoring there, and this was years ago. We wanted them to stay a while and see what there was around the Cheyenne area. And we wanted them to visit with us, but her dad couldn't stay because he thought he had to get back home to Sacramento so he could mow his lawn. They could have had prime time with their granddaughters, but the lawn was so much more important. You know, we get caught up in trivial pursuits that take our time away from God. My dad, when he was just a little while before he died, had a stroke and died, he came to visit me in Stevenson, Washington, and we drove down Stevenson towards Vancouver, Washington. And on the way, there's a little community by the name of Skamania. And one of my friends, Bill Davina, was pastoring a church there in Skamania. And he had down below the house where he lived, there was this old boat that was beyond repair. It just, if you'd put it in the water, it couldn't wait to sink to the bottom. But my dad saw that, and all of a sudden he said, "Oh, I'd like to get a hold of that. I'd like to fix that boat up." Not realizing that he had gotten so old and he was getting sick, he still wanted to invest in something that was here instead of investing in the things that are most important in eternity. You know, the cares of life seem to loom up more important than our relationship with Jesus Christ. We're so caught up in busyness that we forget who we are supposed to be busy for. Taking life too for granted, you know, people come to the place where we just think it's going to go on forever here. But back to the idea that we don't know how long we still have to live, and we spend most of our time planning for now and forgetting God's plan because we just know we've got lots of tomorrows ahead to prepare for. We don't know that. The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" We have these urgency builders in our lives. Satan makes everything seem so urgent. It has to be done right now. It has to be decided right now with no time to pray or study to make the right decision. Marty and I used to spend our days off on Mondays because we didn't have a lot of things to do. So we'd go to these presentations where they wanted to sell you timeshares or some wonderful opportunities to invest in. And we would go there, and they always gave you some kind of a cheap price of being there. And it was just kind of a fun thing to do. But there, one thing was always prominent there. They would say, "This offer is only good today while you are here. If you leave, the offer is no longer available to you." You know, God doesn't work that way. He's not saying if you don't act immediately right now, you're off the list and will never have another opportunity. In fact, Psalms 103:8 says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love." But no matter how patient he is, let me tell you, the day is going to come when you will have made your final decision, when you will have sealed your eternal destiny. With that thought in mind, I would make it early to accept Christ as my Savior rather than late. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. God is patient, but one day his patience will run out. But you have time now if you want to bow your head and accept Christ as your Savior. What a tremendous thing that would be in your life and in the life of those around you. I would urge you, Jesus Christ died for your sins. Why don't you live for him? Learn to take time to feed your soul. Make God, family, and people your priority. Psalms 90, verse 12, where we started, said, "They teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom." That's what I pray that each one of us will do. Father, I pray that you'll speak to each one of our hearts today, that you help us to realize that no matter how long we think we have left in our lives, we don't know that for sure. We know that you've numbered our days, and we know when our appointment comes, we will face you. And Lord, we know that we want to be ready when our appointment comes so that we can hear you say, "Why should I let you into my holy heaven?" And we can say, "Because I accepted the blood of Jesus Christ and I've been cleansed from my sins." And Lord, I pray that if there's some that don't know that reality today, that you'll speak to them and help them to come to a place where they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Father, this world doesn't have enough to offer that would offset the fact that we need to spend our time with you and we need to go to eternity with you. So Lord, speak to those hearts today that don't know you, and may this be the day that they give their hearts and lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. If you want to get a hold of me, you know how to do it. You can write to me through Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona. And, if I get a letter, I'll try to answer it. You can use my telephone number, 623-845-2741, and you can call me or you can text me at that number, and I'll try to get back to you. And, I just would encourage you that you could even send me a Gmail, although I get so many of those, I might miss it, so you'd have to go again. But I would do what I could to try to help if you wanted to talk or pray. I do want to say this, that tomorrow I'm going to be preaching, Lord willing, at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook again. That's at the corner of Buffalo and First Avenue. And I would invite you to come. I'm going to be talking about how we need to check up on our relationship with Jesus Christ and make sure that we're where we ought to be spiritually. That service starts at 11 o'clock. Sunday school starts at 10. And there are classes for adults. We'd invite you to come. And then, as I said, the 11 o'clock service where I'll preach. And then 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, we have a Bible study there at the fellowship hall. We're going to be watching a very short little video telling us about Thomas. It's kind of a modern version of it. And then we will have discussion. And I think it'd be worth your while. You're invited to come to that too. God bless you. I'll be praying for you. If there's any way I can be of service to you, please let me know, because you're important to me. God bless you.